Welcome home.
Yeah. Oh, God, Jesus. Tyler,
welcome home.
Learn your levels before
you use
that.
Dude, that's literally at minus dBs.
Bro. Dude, that was so loud in my head saw brain.
Something seems familiar.
Hey, you ever had that thing, Mike, where like there's drugs in your head? Maybe it's, I think it's from drugs. And quiet, Mike, quiet you. Isn't that ironic and funny that the microphone stand actually is squeaky?
Yes, yes.
Hey, that's the darndest thing.
I want to tell you a couple changes that have happened right
here.
And
you hear a sound, but you know the sound's not coming from outside of your
aside
brain.
From the whistling in my ear?
No, the loud, it's like a guitar riff going, like right in the middle
what
of your brain.
What the hell? It scares the shit out of me. It happens when I'm napping and it's not a noise outside.
Right.
I will hear a crash or a piece of wood break or something. It's absolutely in my head completely.
That's different.
No, no. It's what you're talking about. Things change. Things happen. Crazy noises happen in my head. I wonder what it is. I see things as well.
Hmm.
So, not much has changed.
That's not troubling.
As far as studs, as far as studios, here we are back at our old home. We should try and take calls, make sure that they're recording this time.
Ah, yes. Sorry to everyone for...
We are in an empty studio, and they raised the prices on the soda.
Yes. Prices on everything have gone up around here, but... long story short, we're not going to get hung up on it, but we're still in our old studio.
Without permission.
Without permission, still. Nothing's really different about
breaking
that.
Breaking the law.
But every
breaking
time someone... Law. I've been backtracking. I've been laying so much groundwork for this show in particular.
You've been laying some pipe?
Because the film vault, you know, we got choices. We got places we can go. And,
okay,
you know, yeah.
All right.
This one, not so much. So every
we're
time somebody
outcasts.
Sees me, like this guy's walking around by right now, he's coming in to see Ty right now. I'm constantly like, yeah.
What?
I'm still...
No, we're supposed to be here. Yeah, I promise. No,
he's
cool.
Not in there. You liar. Every time I see someone, they're like, hey, what are you doing here? I thought you guys moved out. Oh, I didn't move out. I have an office here, and I still have to do a lot of production here, and you're going to see me a lot. I still got a lot to do.
I have valuable insight on this. Years ago, when I was doing the live Star Trek show, my contract with Paramount expired. The show was selling out. We were kicking ass. Now,
this is the stage show.
Everybody at Paramount got fired that had anything to do with me. We could have continued that show for another year and actually turned a big profit and had fun. And instead, I abided by the contract. We could probably keep coming into the studio for another 6 months.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. We could Costanza it.
I don't want to jeopardize you.
Well, I mean, the worst thing that can happen... I have an office here. The worst thing that can happen is going to be like one of the higher-ups could contact me and go, people are saying you're still like producing shows.
You're
in
like, you should fire them. They're liars.
What are those shows?
First, you should fire them for lying. Second of all, let me pitch a show to you.
That would be the best. We get in trouble and they bring us back.
That'd be the only way.
They bring
us
back.
That's our method.
That's how the show works. But the guy
they put
actually,
us on the radio actually, and we fucking bury Loveline in the ratings.
The guy that greenlit the show, he's long gone. He's far gone. So I can't lay back on him. We can't fall back on him.
Forge ahead.
We can migrate to his network.
CBS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a call.
All right, so I don't know if you guys got a whole lot to talk about.
Sure.
I got a couple things.
I would like.
You get to complain about your job here, Ty?
What
are we going to do? You get to complain
no,
about your
that
little
was
work
for off air.
Okay.
So sorry to all my coworkers who listen to the show now.
Sorry. No, just that you were working long hours.
I know.
It's not about how you.
They're well aware.
Hate your coworkers.
Shh.
That's what you said after last year.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear about Mike visiting your doctor because I saw the text chain.
Oh, yes.
And it was very confusing because they're all coming in out of order, but I enjoyed it very much.
I didn't see any. Oh, that.
My doctor, my hot
Rooski. I thought you said you saw a text chain from other people.
No, my God. You...
That was the part of the story that you were paying attention to?
And I were texting, and Tyler was involved on that text because he was also a part of it.
A lot of our texts turn into like when two people are in a room banging and then there's the one person in the corner just watching. That's a lot of what our
great scene.
Text chains turn into.
Great scene in that movie, Top 5, involved exactly that with Chris Rock, Whores, and Cedric the Entertainer.
Still got to see it.
It's a good movie. Good film there.
I don't like group texts. And I'll tell you, I got very uncomfortable when you texted Dr. Drew and I on one and I thought it was from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I responded with, I really missed you guys there.
Oh, that worried you?
Yeah, because I didn't know he was on the text. I was like,
he was.
Shit, he might think that I didn't enjoy
it. It's fine. Drew's response was, oh, the show went well. I was just sending out a text because I was up in the High Sierras. I was up in a place called Lake Schaefer Lake.
I'm envious.
Schaefer Lake.
I might drive up there.
It sucked.
Is there a place I can sleep in my car there?
everywhere. It's Bigfoot. Oh, shit! All right, so.
I might go this weekend.
Do you have a Bigfoot story?
I'm up there. It's 5.5 hours away, right? It's up in the High Sierras, and it's like 3 hours north of Sequoia National Park for anyone who's local here.
How far is the drive total?
Just over 5 hours.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
I might do that on Friday.
Why would you go there?
Because I need to get out of town.
Going to go to a cabin? Get
no.
a cabin?
I just told you I'm going to camp.
You're just going to sleep
somewhere? I'm going to drive up there. I'm going to camp in the
car.
So
here's what sucked about our little trip. So Jillian and I, my wife and I, she needs to get out of town. The poor girl, she works all day with homeless people. That's another story. Jesus.
Bears are homeless.
She cuts home. She goes straight to, you know, master's school, master's social work school. What is it? Graduate school.
Master's
I'm
school.
I'm so dumb. I don't even know what it's called. And I'm like,
crack of the whip.
We decided to get out of town. So we picked this snowy little burg. And, yeah. like, you know, the pictures were all like little cute cabins with like the icicles hanging off of them, just snow everywhere. They take you up to your cabin on the back of a snowmobile. And they're like little shitty cabins
what
built in the 20s.
Forget something in your car.
Built in the 20s. And they're cheap as shit, you know? So we're like, fantastic. Get up there. Get up there, no snow. There's like little packs of snow here and there. But
did
really,
they have a potbelly stove, though, to keep you warm?
Yeah, in the saloon,
like
which
that.
Was filled with mountain folk.
What?
Mountain folk are scary shit.
Talking about my new folk?
I love to drink and hang out in mountain towns and strange areas. Not necessarily mountain towns, but I went into that saloon. We weren't in there for 10 minutes. I'm like, I can't do it. There was just drunken mountain men yelling back and forth at one another.
Want to be there with your wife, probably.
Yeah, but it was like the unfun drunkenness. And then I went into the bathroom, and like some guy was in there, so I went to the girls' bathroom, and it was just filled with feces.
What?
I'm like, I hate this place. But no snow. The lake was closed down because it's not summertime. So we were like in between seasons. Nothing to do. No TVs in the cabins. We're just sitting there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. But we had a good time because we played Trivia Crack all weekend long.
So you had cell signal.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not bad then.
Now, it's like 7:15 at night. Dark as shit.
You're already going to bed.
I'm having a cigarette and Anderson's Valley beer.
No snow, but it's still freezing ass.
Still cold
out,
ass
right?
Shit. Yeah, it's like 35 once the sun.
Which Anderson's out. Valley?
The pale ale, Indian pale ale.
Your eyes just something really crazy. They spun in a hurry.
I drank one and was drunk. Yeah,
yeah, they're really good.
So I was out there on the having a cigarette and playing a little Trivia Crack, and I heard. I mean, you have to understand, we're out in the middle of nowhere. The closest landmark to skiers who might be listening, if you know California ski resorts, China Peak. Is the ski resort, which is pretty close. But every review on China Peak is like, this resort is in the middle of nowhere. Literally the middle of nowhere. Like, we're just out there. Like, there's nothing out there. And I hear in the distance. Now, tire chain story. 5 years ago, I heard when I was putting on the tire chains, we heard a bear roar. And it was one of the most, it's creepy, it's terrifying, it's bone rattling, like chilling. You know, you're hearing.
I don't even know what they sound like.
Growl that would like to kill you, and it just echoes through the forest. Not since I've not heard anything like that since. I'm out on the balcony, the deck patio area, by myself, and I hear in the distance. I don't know if I had to like guess 3-5 miles away, out in the dark forest. The only way I can describe it is like a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Growl from like a Jurassic Park, and it echoed.
What do you think it was?
And I immediately turn my back. I'm like, I got the chills. I open the cabin door, and Jillian's just sitting there on the bed, you know, on her computer. And I say, please tell me you heard that. She goes, heard what? I'm like, fucking growl. Get up. You have to come out. So I go back out. I hear another one. This one's different. And then she's like taking her time, like fucking broads do, and she's, you know, putting on her robe. And I'm like, just come out here.
I know. Geez, you're gonna miss Bigfoot.
She heard the last. The last sound, and it was it sounded like twisting metal, but it was like echoing throughout.
What do you actually think it was?
Now, I talked to some of the locals the next day. Did not sound like that's a bear. And they said, no, didn't sound like that. That was the first one I heard, tire chains 3 years ago. But I asked some of the locals, and they said that there's a mountain lion up there. They've been tracking it all year, and it sounds mechanical when it roars.
That sounds like it.
So maybe that was it. Because bears are all hibernating.
What would you rather not see, a bear or a mountain lion?
That was a double negative question, so I'm confused. Let me.
Which one would you rather see less?
Mountain lion.
Really?
Yeah, they're
more I think
stealthy.
If the bear came cruising up, I'd be much more scared than the mountain lion.
But have you seen the guy that got attacked by the mountain lion?
Bears can open doors.
Have you seen the guy that got attacked by the mountain lion or the girl and like her face is missing?
I haven't, but I imagine both would suck.
Yeah.
cobra. What if it was an albino cobra?
They're quiet, though. All right, we're going to put Christmas to bed. Mike brought me. Where'd you get this?
I don't think she wants you to open that.
It's a gift.
Yeah, but
it's wrapped. I'm not supposed to ever open it.
I think she mentioned in the note that she gave me, and I'm not sure about this.
Uh-huh.
It was a gift from Lourdes.
Well, you've just said, and she doesn't want me to open it on air or ever. Like, am I supposed
on
to
air.
Just keep this present
on air
wrapped forever?
But you know what? You can always defy that.
Yeah, I guess I could. Dear Anderson, I keep this short. I'll keep this short. You really are trying to quit, but I only enable you. For that, I am truly sorry. I am grateful to this show and laugh every day because of it. This is a token of my appreciation. What was that? What is that?
It's Bigfoot.
It's so I got really into Bigfoot for the next 2 hours while we were up there.
I'm super into Bigfoot and have been for a very long
time.
And
I was reading all sorts of accounts, Ty, that took place that were accounted by sightings at Schaefer Lake, Ty! Where I was.
I'm into it.
I read a book about, it was published in the 50s, about Sasquatch encounters. So scary.
This is a weird coincidence that you heard that, you read a book about it, and you're into it. And I swear to you, a week ago, I was digging through my belt buckles, and I pulled out the Bigfoot one to polish it up, thinking I was going to put it on a belt. I have a Bigfoot belt buckle from the 70s.
I used to really be annoyed by Bigfoot. Like, there's something very 70s and kind of cheesy about it. And the Gremlin footage is actually from 67, but it got really big in the 70s. But I got this whole newfound appreciation after that roar that I heard in the forest.
Of
and
course.
Also, before that, even Willow Creek by Bobcat.
Oh, did you see it finally?
Yeah, I watched it a long time ago.
Oh, I didn't see it.
And I really wish that I had access to it this weekend, because that would have been fun to watch.
Oh, no.
Have you seen it?
Yeah. I would never watch it.
Can you imagine watching that in a tent?
Nope.
But I was reading all the accounts of Schaefer Lake, and he stole, or he didn't steal, but I mean, a lot of what inspired the film and the things that happened in the film were the actual accounts from Schaefer Lake, where I was. Schaefer Lake. But it was they would hear this.
Wait, Schaefer Lake?
Yeah, Schaefer Lake.
I thought you kept saying Schaefer, because Tara went to Schaefer Lake with her mom to go fishing over the summer.
This last summer?
Yeah. She goes fishing with her mom, and they drove to Schaefer Lake.
Yeah, Schaefer Lake.
That's hilarious.
But I went an extra 30 miles past Schaefer Lake, and it's called Huntington Lake.
Okay.
That's where we were. Not that that matters. All right, so I'm going to open this gift.
It matters, sort of.
Does it? This is from Lourdes, and she got me a very nice giant motion sensor picture frame. Wait, this is too nice. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Lourdes.
She gave me stuff that's too nice, too. She gave me a scanner.
This is too nice.
And a bunch of other stuff.
This is very... It's motion sensor.
People
need
to
on.
Not give me gifts.
Guys, thank you very much, Lourdes. I will throw away the cigarette case. That's not true. I won't. But maybe I'll sell it on eBay to somebody else who has AC as their initials. What's this, Ted?
This is Bigfoot showering.
Bigfoot vocalizations recorded in the wilderness.
Whoop! 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 Because there's this one account where they're in, there's these people in a tent, right? They're hanging out in a tent. And all of a sudden, the pins start getting pulled up out of the ground that hold the tent down.
Mm-hmm.
And something, they don't know what it was, but something pulled the pins out and then grabbed the tent as though it was just a big bag, a big sack with the humans in it, and started walking away.
I got to be honest,
dragging them away.
I don't think animal.
I think that might be the one I read. And then did it talk about how when they came to, they were sitting around the fire with the Sasquatches?
No,
I don't think Sasquatch would have the wherewithal to take the pins out first.
The baby crying one? Oh, horrifying! They just heard a baby crying out in the forest, and then they started hearing whoop, whoop, whoop.
The forest is scary.
And then the other side of the lake, they'd hear an answer back with the whoops.
It's funny because I've been doing some soul searching lately. And
this
I've,
is such a nice frame. Thank
I've
you,
concluded. Lord. And look at the hot chick on the back looking at it.
It's a silhouette.
I know, but look how hot she is. Holy shit.
She looks like a boy with long hair.
Don't tell me it's a
There's
dude.
There's no curves.
That's a chick. Look at that.
Timbertime Bigfoot. I just heard the weirdest damn sound.
That's what it sounded like. That was the sound that I heard.
You hear that?
That could be a lion.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what it was, the mountain lion.
I hear combinations of sounds. There's...
Yeah, I hear a plane. I hear you.
There's some farm fields
I'm not kidding one bit when I tell you this.
I want to hear that sound again, though, because that was exactly what I heard.
Well, that's coming from back in the forest.
I've decided to move out of LA sometime soon, beeping, like within the next year or 2 years.
Like Burbank?
Beeping.
No, like some mountain. Not mountains far away, but like somewhere open, more open.
I just heard the weirdest damn sound.
We're going to go looking at houses in San Luis Obispo this week or next week.
That's exactly what it sounded like. I'm not fucking with you. That's exactly what the roar sounded like.
That might be a lion, though. I mean,
it probably is a mountain lion because I don't believe in supernatural shit. I don't believe in Cro-Magnon Man still walking amongst us.
What about?
Well, he wouldn't be Cro-Magnon Man, and that's not supernatural if a large mammal has survived and evaded humans.
I don't like the weird
talking.
It's
like saying Chupacabra is a supernatural.
Yeah, I got in the weird part of YouTube pretty quick that night. I was looking at all the Chupacabra. What are those animals that look like half raccoon, half dogs that they call Chupacabra? What are they?
Plus, it's always in night vision, so it just makes
They have one like in a cage, and it was like eating with its hands.
It's like a javelina or
something. But it looked like a dog with no hair.
Yeah, it could be just an animal that we know of that's mutilated or...
We don't know. They say it's a bear with mane.
Well, because the cobras were aliens' pets that were left here by accident. So that's kind of
far-fetched. Space Brothers?
This is such a nice frame. Lourdes.
It is nice.
Am I saying her name right? Lourdes?
Yes.
Lourdes. Lourdes. They got all sorts of like really like horribly CGI'd because you know now nerdy kids can like you know make CGI on the computers at home. They're making all sorts.
I appreciated it better when it was a dude in a big furry costume running through the forest with his friend filming him with a Super 8 recorder.
You ever seen Elf?
Yes.
That was the funniest part in Elf is when he like broke free and he was walking in Central Park and then he was walking with his arms swinging out and somebody sees him and takes a picture of him and it freeze frames and he's doing the exact same thing as the Gremlin. Footage.
Those guys admitted that was a hoax on their deathbeds, right?
No, they
or one of them did.
I believe so.
I don't think they did. I think so.
Okay. So why mountain? Go up to Shaver Lake.
I've realized I've done some searching.
See what your people, your neighbors going to be like because they're horrifying.
I've been thinking about this for quite a while now and...
They all look like ex-gamers on meth.
We like driving up the coast and looking at places and stuff. And
you gonna move with your lady?
No.
Mm-hmm. She's become like a weird mountain man that just like comes into town like once every 6 months to get canned goods.
I don't know. This all depends on if I can find another job that I don't have to be in LA for. I don't know. I'm just thinking this through. And then last night we watched a bunch of Anthony Bourdain shows back to back to back, and the Montana one just stuck with me. And I was like, I do want to get out of here. And not as an escape mechanism. I just want to start a new kind of life that's not driving down. Granted, I like LA for certain reasons, and I like it sometimes, you know. But realistically, sometimes I just get in traffic on Ventura Boulevard, and I look around, and I go, this is a shit hole. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It is a dirty fucking shit hole full of bad people.
Right. Well, that's true many places. But, you know, all my family and work and love.
I know.
Everything's
I'm
here,
with you.
So I can't really...
I'm completely with you. That's why I'm...
Are you asking me to go with you? Because
what I'm asking is for you to come with me.
What about me?
You guys want to talk creepy?
Yeah, why not?
Creeps. What are we listening to here, Tata?
Knocking.
All right, so what? This isn't creepy. It's just kind of actually... That's creepy.
I would shit myself if I was backpacking and I heard that.
It'd be fun to go up there and play a hoax with people.
Yeah, I mean, that could have been it, too. Like, maybe somebody was on, like, one of those far-reaching roads, and they just cranked up their speaker and started playing. But why would they only do it once for about 30 seconds and then stop?
The way to really pull it off would be if you had enough power and subwoofers to actually get some growl, some depth to the
growl.
That's
what it sounded like. I wouldn't have been shocked if it was coming from, like, a really good car stereo. But it only happened once. And
ironically, it was Sasquatch driving a car.
For 30 seconds. And, you know, long enough for Jillian to get up, dressed, and out to the car. I mean, out to the
deck. Horrifying. When we were kids and I was obsessed with the Halloween soundtrack, the movie, and I had the CD, and there was a murder that took place about a mile from us, and they found the body in a dumpster. And on Halloween, my sister and I and a couple of our friends got piled into my Cadillac and drove down there and parked next to the dumpster and played the Halloween soundtrack. Doesn't sound that scary.
No.
Bone-chillingly.
Were you all just sitting there silent?
You sat in the dumpster?
We sat in my
car listening to a soundtrack.
You'd be way hard. You'd be really metal if you listened to it while sitting in the dumpster.
Should also point out that we don't have our 360 machine, sound effect machine. We have a backup, somebody else's that we're using. And
fresh new drops.
We don't have Halloween on this one, I don't think. We have it on mine, but... So I'm doing some work on my computer the other day. I had the screen door. The door opened, just nothing but the screen door, you know, was...
Yeah.
So I had the screen door going, like every town in America, USA. I love it.
I can't believe you do that after your newfound Bigfoot fear.
Well, this is actually before I went to
Shaver. I get bars on the doors and the windows now.
Before I went to Shaver Lake. So I'm sitting there and I'm doing some work on the computer and getting bugged by work stuff and, you know, dealing with this and that. I'm probably there for 10, 15 minutes. I get up to go. Somebody's coming over, I think. I got like a plumber coming over or something. That's another reason. Get up to go do something and I notice that the screen door, it's waving in the wind, wide open. So I immediately take catalog of my dogs. I'm 0 for 3. No dogs in the house. They're all just taken off, I guess. So I know that Pepe's probably back in the back room in the dirty laundry because that's where he is most all day. So I don't really worry about him, but I'm worried about the two white ones, right? Sydney and Stan.
You didn't take catalog of Pepe?
Did not take catalog of Pepe. I didn't really. I realized he was probably back there.
I was going to make fun of you for using that, but I like it.
Yeah, I was searching for what it was that no, I was like doing, that. But I took out. I don't even know if it works. It
totally works.
Okay. So
you said it with confidence.
I walk down the street. I walk out. I'm calling, you know, frantically.
Hey,
I thought,
where's Tyler?
He's right there.
Oh, I thought he got up and left.
I got that, Stan! Stan! Like that terror in my voice. And he's like two doors down sniffing. I'm like, get over here. What are you doing? He's not a runner, but he does take off. And his sister, not really his sister, but, you know, his adopted sister, Sydney, who looks exactly like him, but she's a little smaller, she's down there too. So Stanley comes running. He goes back in the house. Sydney will come. I go up to her. The two idiot dogs. They go out. They feel like, oh, we're free. We can go out front. We can do whatever we want. And the owner is allowing us to happen. And I guess Stan was so excited, and Sydney was sniffing the same stuff. She's covered in urine. You can see the little yellow lines of urine. At least six
she
different spots.
On herself?
No, he was peeing, and she was like sniffing where he was peeing. Just lines of pee all over her.
Sometimes dogs are so dumb.
So dumb.
Yeah, okay, I thought you were going to tell a more horrifying story that you looked out the door and you saw a Bigfoot in your backyard and he was slowly petting the dogs.
That'd be pretty great.
And you didn't know how to approach. Like, was he about to kill him?
I can't be afraid of Bigfoot either after Harry and the Hendersons. You know, that kind of like ruined any kind of fear.
Yeah, but...
But Willow Creek brought it back.
I guess I got to see it.
You do. It's one of the better found footage movies you're going to see. I don't know why. You'd think that Bobcat could get a budget, but he must have made this thing for like... $5,000-$10,000.
No budget. Yeah.
It was unbelievably cheap. Two actors.
Yeah.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Guys, type in Bigfoot screams or Sasquatch screams on YouTube and you're just going to fall down a rabbit hole, I can tell you.
Really?
That's what's happening to me.
Crawling back up out of that rabbit hole?
I might dip back down in.
I'm kind of scared now to drive out to the forest alone.
And they got a pretty sweet painting of a Bigfoot in the little town of Shaver Lake. It's super small.
Yeah.
And it's actually not nearly as romantic once you learn about it a little bit. There's a big dam there, right? And then you do a little research, you scratch a little, you realize that that dam was built in 1911, and it created the lake. So the lake is man-made.
They probably buried a lot of Bigfoot carcasses under that lake.
It's created by streams and whatnot, but so it's naturally they don't fill it, but it was created, and it's owned by Edison, the power company. So
this all sounds suspicious.
Right? And the whole town,
GenCorp. The GenCorp Dan, in the middle of nowhere.
People. And everyone that works and lives in that town, they give you the idea, like so many touristy towns, you know, like they hate you. They can't stand you because you're city folk. You're not like them. You're soft. But without us, they have no living to make.
Yeah.
So they hate us. But they have to serve us. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like Disneyland employees.
Is that how they are?
Yeah, they hate you, but they realize that place wouldn't be there without you, the tourist.
Do they hate you?
No, I don't know. Just imagining if I worked there, I'd think it was mine. Yeah, I know. I know how those mountain folks are. But trust me. Montanans are the Montanians, whatever it is. They're the same way. They make it real clear they don't like these multimillionaires from Hollywood rolling in and buying ranches and stuff to have their vacation homes there. They don't like it.
Who's the most famous Hollywood director to come out of Montana?
I'll say, first of all, I have no idea. Second of all, I'll say...
I hate people that do this, too. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to, like,
I don't know.
A quiz.
I don't know.
David Lynch.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You'd never guess. He's from
no
Montana.
Idea. No, he sounds like he's from Chicago or Midwest, the way he speaks. With that accent.
Have you listened to Danny Aiello on Gilbert Gottfried's...
Not yet.
Oh,
no.
It's so good.
I have such a backlog of stuff to listen to.
It's so... You should just skip to that one.
Okay.
Whether you like Danny Aiello or not, but hearing someone talking shit.
I didn't know he was still alive.
Danny Aiello. Hmm. He'd kick your ass for saying that. That man's scary.
Who is he?
He's a character actor. You've seen him before. He was real hot.
Do the right thing. He was
He was up for an Academy Award for that. He'll let you know. He's one of these guys that he's a blowhard.
God, I hope he never hears this. But he's a character actor.
What a coincidence that would be if he's the dude that actually listens to this after all the people we've talked about.
Him talking about his encounters and his anger and hostility towards Marty Scorsese and how much he hates Martin Scorsese is classic. You got to hear it.
Okay.
You don't even. Gilbert doesn't even get a word in edgewise the entire episode.
I'm in. Yeah.
Listen to that thing.
Okay.
You know what's... What? Go ahead, Ty.
No, I don't. No, please.
No, please. Because
I had nothing. I was just going to prompt a story, but if you have something, please go.
Prompt away.
I called you right after I had one of the worst days of my entire life in a recent. Yeah. New studio that I'm at. I'm not naming names here, but I realize that we're visitors there. We're the new kids on the block, essentially, even though we're a very old show, but we're on somebody else's property doing the show and somebody else's workspace. My second night in there, I managed to infect the entire computer system with a massive virus that prompted a 3-page email from the head of IT at that said station, that unsaid station. And I was like nauseous. Like it was just horrifying.
What sites were you browsing?
That's actually what I wrote in my apology email. He wrote a 3-page scathing email to everyone's boss, including the big man's boss over there. You know who I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
The big man's boss. The big man is like top 100 most influential Hollywood players every year that list. His boss was on this email about Anderson Cowan.
Sure, he's got better things.
That's unfortunate.
Let's go back down this road. Radio, how fucking weird it is. I turned down a job. I'm sorry, guys. Am I talking too much?
No, go ahead. Come in.
I just drank my first cup of coffee today. I learned this just about 4 days ago. Pharrell on the Bench tried to lure me out to New York about 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago, to produce his morning show out in New York. And I said, I can't do it unless you guarantee me this much money. And it came really close. I was going to uproot everything, move out to LA and produce his morning show. I got the money, but I didn't get the guarantee. And he's such a live wire. He was capable of being fired 2 months in and then I'd just be stuck out in New York. So they couldn't guarantee a full 12-month contract for me. So I said, fuck it, I can't do it. The guy that ended up taking that job, about the same age as me, maybe a year older, kept it for 2 years. Total corporate-minded guy. So he moved his way up from there, and now he's that guy's boss. He is like the head of all of everything. He's K-Dub's boss. And he took a job I said no to.
Well, you could...
I could not have, no.
This magical thing would never have happened.
Okay. We all have those stories.
I never I had one before. That was the first.
Oh. I have them. Well, the two people that I started with, one is probably the most powerful comedy manager in the business,
Becky.
And the other guy owns all the improvs.
Bert.
I downgraded to being a photographer.
That's smart. Yeah. You were like general manager, and then you're like, I'll just take pictures instead. How'd that conversation go?
It wasn't a conversation. It slowly worked itself out.
Really?
I left to go work for Dennis Miller and then came
back. It'd be like being Tom Brady, and then like within a few seasons, you're giving the water to the players.
No, it's not like that at all.
Kind of.
I left the improv as general manager to go to work for Dennis Miller. Then I did Dennis Miller, Mr. Show, and then I came back to the improv when I didn't have a job and started off.
I didn't know you did Mr. Show.
As a graphics guy, and then one day someone said, can you bring a camera in because Ray Romano's coming in? That's how I became a photographer.
All right. Hi, where's Mark?
So moments before I got that email about how I ruined everything my second night in there, and I'm just completely embarrassed and mortified. It's just my worst nightmare.
Yeah.
And here's a little tip, guys. If you're looking for an FTP site, file sharing site that you need to download to use on your computer, first of all, Firefox has a free FTP capability. It's got to add the plugin, which
Didn't
is great.
That?
Firefox. Chrome, it costs money, I believe. But Firefox is the ticket. That's what I'm using now. But I used FileZilla before. FileZilla is great. I don't know if you've ever used FileZilla.
That's my go-to.
That's the one that came with the fucking virus.
You must have downloaded it from somewhere terrible.
Probably. Vosteron was the name of the goddamn virus, and it's still all over my computer. My computer at home is still rendered useless.
Your Mac, huh?
No. It was fine on the Mac. Doesn't work. Anyways, right before I got that email, I had just gotten out of a meeting with a very rich and powerful man, which I don't find myself in meetings with them very often.
Bill Gates?
I called the meeting, so it was my own doing. I was in there. I was in front of him because something had been going on way too long, and I had to put a stop to it. And after about a year and a half, I finally called the meeting, and I went and sat down with just this guy and I. It didn't go well. I called you to complain about it right after that.
Yes.
I am horrible when it comes to things like that and talking about negotiations and whatnot. And
As am I.
I got part of what I wanted, but not all of it. But in doing so, I also was put in a position where my mouth became very dry. I could not speak. Mm. And I just get when he was threatening all these horrible things at me, I found myself just saying, okay, I balk. I balk. And I don't even know what that means. I looked it up immediately thereafter. I'm like, why was I saying I balk? It doesn't.
Wait,
that doesn't
you
fit.
Actually said that?
I was saying that, yes, out loud.
Maybe he thought you were using some lingo that he didn't understand.
I remember it ended with, like, okay, it's fine. Thank you for so much for saying it. Okay, bye.
Hmm.
If it was about something like artistic or something, I'd be able to hold my own. But when it was just strictly about finances,
yeah.
I can't believe I called a meeting.
I absolutely had empathy for you, and I understood what it was like.
But I've come to a new conclusion.
Yeah, we need agents.
So I'm driving up to Shaver Lake with the wife, right?
Yeah.
I'm listening to podcasts.
Right next to Shaver Lake.
She's reading, literally, she reads an entire novel on her way up there. But we are speaking here and there. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, still have a really bad taste in my mouth, and I'm very angry about all rich people and all people that run everything. Like, as I've always have been. I dislike these people that are in charge, most of which would probably be, like, you know, the biggest slave owners on the block back in the day.
Or if we were rich and in charge, we would like them.
No, I don't think it would. But I just have in my head that, like, you know, all successful people, especially the ultra successful people, are very evil, horrible people.
Okay.
And I was kind of, you know, making this statement.
Make the statement, painting with broad brushes.
Yeah. And Jillian cuts me off and she says, or they're really smart. And it clicked. I'm like, she's right.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're really evil and smart, or they're really lucky. There's four different types of very successful people. Oh, not counting like hardworking.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, that's going to come into play. But like either very smart, very evil, very smart and evil, or very lucky.
Okay, there's also people that can compartmentalize the difference between professional and from the heart. And some people are all business, and we are not all business.
No.
Like we think.
We are no business.
No, yeah. We
the three of us together do not even equal one single business-minded person.
I absolutely concur.
You know what really points that out is the giant box of after shirts sits in my spare bedroom. Yeah. Just sitting there. Every time I go to my infected computer, I have to walk around this box, and it's another thing that annoys.
But yeah, it's some people, like I got into a fight. I got into a very hostile conversation with one of the partners at the improv, and it was hostile. I could have lost my job. And he said, you know, Mike, this isn't personal. It's just business. I'm asking a question, and you're taking it totally personal. And he was right, and I'm still angry about it, but he's right.
You watch. You don't watch Boardwalk Empire, do you?
No, he wanted an answer to a question, and I didn't want to give him the answer because it's my prerogative to not answer my boss's question.
It's your prerogative, yeah. They can't force you. They could.
No, they can't.
Give you ultimatums, but they can't force you.
Yeah.
Who was that? Yeah, he works on the show that's taken over this studio, but he's fine. Don't worry about it.
Cool.
What?
Cool.
Cool. I think he's a tool. Yeah. I'm like, well, let's not start attacking him. We're kind of in his space, and he doesn't know that we're not supposed to be here,
tool.
I don't think. He's one of the guys that I put work in for. Over the last couple weeks. Oh, you're still going to be seeing me a lot. I still got a ton of stuff to do. It's only up and up.
Including this podcast every week.
The reason I asked you about...
Including this podcast where I yell about rich people.
The reason I asked you about Boardwalk Empire is I think it was season 4. Bobby Cannavale. Is that how you say his name? Cannavale. Great actor. I love him. He was in Blue Jasmine. You see that?
Yeah. Tara loves that guy too.
The buff boyfriend. I love that guy. He played a really despicable, like scary villain in the episode in the fourth season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was one of the very first episodes. And you know, somebody's given him that whole thing. They're like, hey, I don't know, his name wasn't Bobby, but for the sake of the story, like, hey, Bobby, don't take it personal. This is business. And he freaks out. He's like, what do you mean it's not personal? Everything's personal. How could this not be personal? I think he ended up killing that man with his hands.
Oh, that's my attitude as well.
I agree. Everything is personal. Yeah. You can't separate.
You want to know something? That is a sign of a bad business
person. Fuck you
both.
Nothing's personal.
I wish nothing was personal.
Me too.
And I was just
my life would have much less stress.
I would be artificial intelligence.
Because I take everything personally. I'm going to tell you flat out right now. I was driving over Laurel Canyon. I got some fucking douchebag in front of me going too slow, watching me in his rearview mirror, intentionally trying to slow me down. He had about 10 car lengths.
Maybe he's
this is on Saturday. He had about 10 car lengths between him and the next car, and he was doing that thing, slowing me down. And when it switched to two lanes, I drove around him erratically to get in front of him, and then he got around me again, just like a fuck you. Mm-hmm. And I took that personal because it wasn't even the act of him driving like that. It was the fact, okay, this is going fucking in a stupid place. I just realized. He had his arm up on his windowsill like he was so relaxed.
That's what I do.
That's an act.
First of all, A, not a windowsill. B, I have my arm there all the time.
Okay, here's the deal.
It's comfortable.
Old cars, sitting like this where your arm is 45 degrees
on the window,
your body,
comfortable.
New cars have higher belt lines, so he is sitting like this, which I know is not comfortable, with his arm up high like his elbow was at his ear. Not comfortable. He was a liar, a fraud. He was faking like he was comfortable.
What would you think if you saw me driving?
Faking like he was comfortable, mm-hmm, while he slowed me down and then passed
what kind of car?
SUV. And he's a fucking liar douchebag. And I took the fact that he was going slow, sort of personal, but I took the fact that he was lying to me by pretending like he was casually comfortable,
lying to you,
resting like this,
right,
as totally personal.
Okay. Well, you're gonna, when we leave here, you're gonna have to
no, but your window
you're
is
have to take
here.
A look.
Your window is here.
I put
degrees.
My seat as low as it can go in the bucket.
Bugs me.
We'll see. We'll see. Bugging. And I realize
I quit.
I realize that it looks like I'm probably trying to be greaser guy. It looks like I'm trying to show off my fucking tattoo.
It's not comfortable.
I'm not.
That's it's not the only comfortable.
In the summertime,
your arm.
My arm is like, I don't know what kind of shades they use for tanning.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like
cancer
four or five,
one or cancer three.
Four or five shades above my other arm because it's constantly just in the driver. It's window all the way down.
I've seen it.
Sunscreen,
right? Does it look like I'm trying to do something?
I can attest. Yes,
okay,
it looks like you're trying quite
but
hard.
At least
stop
patronize
it.
Me. At least agree with me that
I'm going to be uncomfortable. Keep it in though.
Resting like this is more comfortable than when your elbow is up higher.
Probably
this is
yeah.
uncomfortable. This is comfortable. Like this would be totally comfortable.
You're going to have to gauge it when we get out there. Okay.
This is breakthrough stuff, guys.
You guys are ready to talk about something creepy? I was going to go there earlier, but I wanted to do it towards the end of the show.
Yeah. I want to hear about something creepy, and I want to hear about Hot Russian Doctor.
Oh my God, Hot Russian Doctor.
Yeah. I saw Hot Russian Doctor.
So as many of you know, I've got health insurance a little over a year ago, and I finally picked my doctor, and I went and I saw her, and I came back here and reported that she was hot.
Yeah.
And it was uncomfortable, but awesome.
And then guess who made an appointment to go see Hot Russian Doctor?
And Carano finally went to see her, and he was texting me wildly all throughout because her... Yeah.
It was a very, very unsettling experience because of the situation and driving down Ventura Boulevard all those miles.
A lot of all caps texts were coming through.
Oh, yeah. You saw it all, right?
I made the appointment to get this cough looked at, which, by the way, I got the results back yesterday. She's called me on my cell at least four times.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Have a conversation with me about it. They couldn't find anything in the x-rays, so she wants me to get an extensive blood test now.
I want you to come back in.
She thinks it's asthma or something else, and she wouldn't tell me what the other thing was. Either way. I go to make this appointment. I drive down there. I walk into the most unsettling waiting room I've been in a long time.
Now, when's the last time you were in a
you
hospital
had a good,
waiting room?
Good point. Good point. Exactly.
Right. He was describing everyone. He's like, they're all fat or gangsters.
Obese
or...
Russian women. And
I'm like, yeah, but they're at a doctor's office.
And,
so, you know, they're not going to be a picture of health.
Smelly gangsters with neck tattoos and hand tattoos. And I don't mean gangsters from here, Russian gangsters.
Like Eastern Promises.
Because I've seen those. Ooh. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm standing in there. A dude friggin' comes out of the back that smelled fucking horrific.
Like what?
Like I felt like I was ready to vomit.
Like old
and
beans?
My body impulsively jumped away from him like it was a
like
bear
a
or a
Bigfoot.
Pork chop
you left in your car with the windows up?
Worse.
Like a what left in your car?
Pork chop.
So here's the thing about Hot Russian Doctor. Now, you may disagree with me on this one when you finally go back. I decided immediately.
I've seen her five times.
Fuck this. I'm not waiting. Because everyone's pissed because they've been waiting for an hour
that.
At least.
I did that to her, actually, but it was after she already saw me, and they were making me wait to pay my copay.
Yeah.
So I stormed out, and I got lectured when I came back.
I've already seen her yell at people
she gets
at
pissed.
Least three times.
Yeah.
What?
Like, yell in front of me.
In Russian, though, so you have no idea what it's about.
How old is she?
I want to say, like, our age.
Yeah, maybe a little younger.
What's our age? We're all
I know.
Like 10 years apart.
If we mix all of our ages together, she might be, like, 4 years younger than that.
She's
probably late 30s.
I waited probably 20 minutes and decided I'm out of here.
Right.
They don't have my information. I'm just going to leave and say I can't take this much time off of work. So either way, I walk up to tell them I'm leaving, and that's when I meet Hot Russian Receptionist. Mm-hmm. And I just
she's new. I haven't seen this one.
Yeah.
So I got to make it.
She's cute. She's cute. Uh-huh. But when you look into her eyes, you are fucked. Because I was just, and she was touching me going, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
We're touching you?
She reached across and she was like she put her arm on me.
What?
And she's just this cute little girl that's got long hair and these eyes. Okay.
What if she fired her other assistants? She was always yelling at
her. Oh, listen to this. Here's the problem.
Because remember I told you about the one assistant that was asking me if I was Jewish and then saying, we're very happy in our new building because the old one was filled with Arabs. And you know what they say about Arabs and Jews, like cats and dogs. That was her old assistant.
That's funky. What does she look like? Heavy set?
No, she was thin, taller.
Thin, kind of attractive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's still there?
Oh, yeah. She got yelled at more than once.
She's angry. She got yelled at. Tyler, when I went there, when I skipped out of my copan, I went back. She was getting screamed at by my doctor while she was right before she was about to take my blood. She's getting screamed at by my doctor, by my hot Ruski doctor. And then, like, out in the hall. And then she comes in, and as she's about to take my blood, she starts yelling at me. Not the doctor, now her assistant, like, it's trickle down. She's yelling at me as she's jabbing, like, needles into my arm.
We had the same experience, because when I went to get blood, they were clearly having a fight. They had just had a fight right in front of me in the doctor's office. A fight about whether my insurance is good or not. And I went, I know it's good here, I just haven't made you my primary care physician. And they were heated, raised voices back and forth for at least 2 minutes while I sat there on the waiting table. Okay.
This sounds like a doctor's office that Larry David would go to on an episode of Curb.
Hot Russian receptionist just looked into my soul. And I'm telling you, I was just like, oh, fuck. I'm fucked. And I waited there. And finally, I went, I've had it. I've had it now. 45 in. Mm-hmm. And my meter was going to expire. And I just left.
I told her, parking lot in the back, Tyler.
I said, I'm leaving.
Why he's parking on the street.
Said, I'm leaving. Yeah, I know that now. Mm-hmm. I said, I'm leaving. She's like, why you go? And I went, I'm leaving because I don't have all day and I can't sit here for an hour and a half. I split. I'm driving down Ventura. I talk to you.
Yeah.
Anderson starts to backpedal about, she's not really hot. She's hot for a doctor. I don't want you to judge me.
I was worried.
I hadn't seen her yet.
No, that's not how it went. I'm like, oh, I'm so relieved you left before you saw her because I want to tell you this. Like, there's,
okay.
For a doctor, she's hot. Yeah. When you think of a doctor, you don't think hot, blonde, like Russian lady. Yeah. You think like old, gray-haired, balding man.
Yeah.
But
okay, so
I do think she's hot, though,
so here's
even
the
if
thing.
She's not a doctor.
Here's the thing. And my phone rings. And it's the doctor. And all she keeps saying to me is, I'm very angry with her for letting you go. I can't do an accent, but I wish I could. She's got a thick Russian accent. She goes, I'm very upset. Very upset she let you go. You come back now. I wait for you. You come back. So I went, okay.
I've been waiting for you all my life.
I turned around.
Corona.
Exactly. I turned around. I go back. The mediary woman, kind of hot Russian chick, brings me in the room. She goes, less than 5 minutes. And I went, well, I'm going to run downstairs and check my meter. Because I only put one quarter in, 10 minutes or 15 minutes, because I didn't think I was really going to see her. And she goes, you need to pay first. I give her my Amex. I run down, check my meter. I'm back up probably 40 seconds.
Did she have you like do the little phone? She does the takes the credit cards the same way that we sell our shirts, with a little square on the iPhone. Yeah.
I come back up. She goes, oh, I sign your credit card. And I went, why'd you do that? She goes, I thought you leave. And I went, I went to check the meter. She's like, I sign your credit card. I sign your name.
They need that $45 bad.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
So, $45 is $120.
Well, it's because you're not. She's not your doctor.
So then in comes. This is going to sound even worse now. Hot Russian doctor is, in my opinion, very hot.
I was very relieved to hear
very
that.
Very hot.
But here's the sitcom. Here's the sitcom element. This is almost unbelievable.
I didn't even see her face because she was wearing a mask because she had the flu, and I was falling for her just based on her eyes.
He only saw
alone.
After all of that, after all the buildup, he only saw half of her face.
And I couldn't stop staring at her.
He still hasn't seen all of her.
Yeah. And even better, no sense of humor.
None.
She was doing the thing with checking my chest with the stethoscope, and I went, I'm sorry, I'm seeing somebody. And instead of laughing or responding like, ha-ha, she stopped and went, what?
Wait, what does that mean? Like, I don't get the joke.
She was like doing this to my chest.
Like she was getting fresh with him, and he was like, hey, I got some.
But so the best part about it was you seem tense and depressed. And I went, well, I'm kind of here for this cough. Well, you seem depressed. I write you a prescription for antidepressants.
That's so not my doctor.
Wrote me three prescriptions.
She got blonde hair.
With almost not asking at all.
Because I asked her for a prescription the first time I went and saw her. Yeah. I wanted Chantix to try and quit smoking. And she's like, I don't know you. I don't subscribe. Okay. Prescribe. Subscribe. I don't do that until I know you better.
So
I'm like, have a dinner next Tuesday.
So then she goes, tell me why you're depressed. And I go, well, I can't really. And she's like, well, why you have anxiety? And I went, I'm just, and she goes, what happened in your life? And I went,
wow.
No, I spent 20-25 minutes with her. And then she goes, well, what happened? What like, what, you? Where, how was your childhood? And she starts asking me like personal questions, and I finally went, here's the deal. And I unloaded in like 2 minutes a million fucking things. And I went, I'm not here. Oh, I know what it was. I asked her for a therapist recommendation.
You should have just played her episode one of 5 minutes with Mike. And she's just, like, here you go.
And I just went off on this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I lived in a cult, and my fucking mom did this. My fucking mom. And I went off, and she was kind of startled by the whole thing. Wrote me the prescriptions. And then she goes, what else? And I go, and I have to do this show on Saturday. And I'm not a professional performer, and I have to stand in front of people and talk. And I'm very, very, very uncomfortable. And she goes, I write you a note to get out of it.
Oh, my God.
No joke.
Best doctor ever.
No joke.
That is fucking hilarious. Was that? Was she wasn't being funny?
She doesn't have – I made her laugh twice now.
Does she not understand that you getting a note does not help your situation at all?
He should have got the note.
It is absolutely a contest to see who can make her laugh.
I've made her laugh twice, but one was a nervous laugh because she spit in my mouth by mistake.
That's not bad. I'll take that.
When she was looking in the back of my throat,
the
she
other
was talking
time,
to me.
The other time was he said he was an American. She left.
I need to see the rest of her face now.
Remember she's
please tell me the rest of her face is as nice as the top half.
Yeah, it's complimentary.
I'm fucked.
Remember, she's the one that like she was trying to prescribe me something. And
is she wearing
down,
a wedding ring? Because I couldn't tell.
I don't look at that.
Do you think people with attractive doctors live longer because they like go
I want to go
the doctor
see her, like,
more
every
often?
Little thing, every little thing.
I need to get a hot dentist so that I'll go get my teeth checked.
I can't wait for my next appointment.
I got an abrasion on my penis. You need to take a look. All right.
They have to love me as a patient because I had a much better attitude than every fucking person in that waiting room.
Now, did you ask her about me?
I told her. She said, why did you come here? And I said, my friend Anderson came here. She goes, I remember. Swear to God.
She would have said that about anyone.
No.
I've seen her 5 times in a year now.
But she got into a yelling fight. She oh my God, she called me. She called me to tell me my chest x-ray results. And she got into a fight with that girl with the phone on for at least 20 seconds.
She's like
screaming.
She's like
screaming.
A hilarious recurring character that like that bit always happens.
She's like, I tell you time after time. When you put on my desk, you put on my desk with billing information. I tell you over and over, you put on my desk. I don't want to see results. Unless billing information is accompanied.
Wow, in English. That's a new one.
Absolutely.
Usually it's
absolutely.
Russian. I need to get in there quick before she fires this new hot
no,
assistant.
No, hot receptionist. Oh!
Because she's about to fire,
okay.
It sounds like.
She told me she's very angry with the receptionist for letting me go. When I went back, the receptionist wasn't there.
Oh, no.
Swear to God. No, but she was there when I...
The one that looked into your soul?
She was there when I came back for my chest x-ray. And here's how weird it is. Mm. She was in the back doing some paperwork. She came out and she saw me and went, oh, hi, and turned around and went back in. Like she was told not to talk to me or something, even though that's in my head.
Yeah, it's
but I want to believe
the
they're planning some great sexual rendezvous.
How can we set up an appointment at the same time?
Fuck, let's just both show up and say we're both at the same thing.
When do you have to go back to her?
She said a month, and that was from like a week ago.
All right, I'm gonna try and
see if you guys can get a package deal.
why don't? That would be weird if we both went with each other to our appointments.
It'd be really weird.
We were just hanging out.
Ooh, you guys could.
What if you like see her with her mask off and you're like hideous?
Here's the problem.
You guys should super glue
here.
Like your hands together or something. Like you had a terrible super glue
not
accident.
Bad.
And then you can go and be
we
like, oh,
impale
I got
ourselves.
It was a stunt.
Impale ourselves on a pole that goes through our side.
That's a shish kebab. More dangerous.
We can get penis cuffs and attach our penises and then go and say this needs to be removed.
That's like my short.
Penis cuffs?
Did I even tell you guys yet? Tyler, you read it.
Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm a good friend. I
haven't even talked about that. Yeah, my latest short that I copywrote and that I'm going to be shooting, but I just turned it into a feature length. No, we actually came up with it on this here program. But it's,
and it involves penis cuffs?
Yeah. It's a dark comedy, but it's more dramatic than comedic, even though the premise
Germanic?
Is comedic, dramatic, even though the premise is absolutely and totally absurd. But it's about a girl.
Here's the issue.
Oh, okay. What's the issue?
Though? Oh, I didn't know you really wanted to say it.
Nah, I'm not going to. I feel like I should.
I didn't know you wanted to like spill it.
Penis cuffs are involved.
I cannot seem to find any photograph of her online.
It's hard to find photographs of doctors, I think. Because I was looking at...
I also can't seem to take a picture of her without her noticing.
Yeah, that's going to be tough.
I'm going to try.
You say my I don't know. You say my work doesn't believe that I'm at the doctor's office.
Oh, and then
take a
selfie.
Photo with me.
Yeah,
I need a selfie.
She'll say, "I write you."
Can you unbutton the top two buttons
instead of a doctor's note? Say, "No, you know what? Selfies work just
selfies.
As well."
Selfies. Yeah.
I'm imagining like a blonde Russian stripper. Is that
No.
Like, she could have been a showgirl back in the day, probably. Like, she probably still could be a showgirl.
Okay, you. I don't know where you're getting this she's too old to be hot, like, thing. Because she's
like 40s.
Yeah.
You know? Not
she
that there's anything wrong with that.
She has seen in winter.
But
she,
you're like, you would see her as a cocktail waitress in Vegas. You know what I mean? Like, and you wouldn't think, like, why is she a cocktail? Like, she'd be a really... like a really good looking
if I came in here with her and said this is my girlfriend, you wouldn't be like, that's weird. You'd be like, she's pretty hot.
I'd be like, that's weird.
And if she's, I said that's my girlfriend and she's a doctor, you would be like, holy shit,
high five. That's what I did. Alright, I didn't even get to, what's that?
Tell your creepy story.
I didn't get to creepy.
It's a creepy. You got like 4 minutes.
Creepy's creepy though. Creepy came out. Here's what happens when you're with the wife up in a snow town without snow, without lake activities. Because we wanted to get a snowmobile, too, but there wasn't enough snow, so they couldn't bring
a
snowmobile.
Wait, they took you to your cabin in a snowmobile, yet
no,
there was
that's
no
if
snow?
There was a bunch of snow, oh, but there wasn't. Oh. So they're just like, yeah, your cabin's up there, and we just drove up. It sucked. But
if you got snowed in.
If there's a ton of snow, I didn't have tire chains. I had nothing. I was not prepared. But when you're alone with your wife or anyone in a cabin without TV mm-hmm. and limited cell reception, you end up talking about all sorts of stuff, and
oh,
stuff
like
pops up.
Murdering and stuff?
And I remembered a book that I got when I was a little kid. I believe I got it for Christmas. Now, I have brought this up with my mom since I unearthed it and spoke about it with Jillian. I had forgotten about this for literally years and years and years. But it was a Christmas gift. I was trying to remember the first time I ever like knew about sex or mm-hmm. heard about sex. And it was this big black book. And it's called Show Me! Exclamation mark.
Was it a serious book?
Have you ever heard of Show Me?
No, no. No, but I like it. I like it.
It sounds like
we...
a scary thing that like a guy says in like an 80s like killer movie.
Show Me!
I do think we should end the show on the first time I ever learned about sex was this big black
book. Show Me. You open it up. It's all very artfully done. Black and white photos.
But it's legit. It's serious.
The German... we ended up looking it up and because I'm like, yeah, I remember this thing. And it was around for years. My little brother ended up getting it, and I think my sister saw it, but we ended up like using it as a coloring book. I'm like, my brother went to fucking town. Let me tell you what's in the book. It's two little kids talking about sex and trying to figure out what it is. Then there's like some teenagers in there, naked as can be, talking about sex and what it is.
Wait, is it pictures or drawings?
Pictures with like little blurbs. I remember vividly, like one of the teenage couple, and the boy is like touching the girl's nipple. And his penis is very erect, and like he's hanging his underwear off the end of his penis. And then there's like an old naked man talking about sex. And then there's actual sex between like two middle-aged people. And they have like up close, really ridiculous 70s style picture, black and white pictures of the woman like screaming in agony. And she's supposed to be having a baby. And they're explaining, it's like the birds and the bees, but it's in a book. And it was and we did research. And this book is, as you might guess, very controversial. Exceptionally controversial. Now it's considered child porn. Like, if you have it or sell it, you can be arrested,
Did you look on eBay?
I have it still.
Ah, bring it in. Bring
and
it in.
Easy.
This is a two-parter. I'm going to have to bring this thing in. We're going to have to inspect. And I think the creepiest part of all of it is
I can hardly
like,
wait for the episode titled Show Me.
There's up-close pictures of, like, you know, vaginas, right? Yeah. You can actually see
vaginas.
Vaginas. And... that page has by far the most coloring on it. Like, my brother went to town with purples and yellows and greens.
Wow.
Everything's colored in.
He's trying to get that lifelike hue.
That lifelike
you want infection that black and white.
Hue.
Yeah, he was probably five. We were both way too young to have this. But I guess in the day, in the 70s, like, people were saying to parents, like, hey, if you don't want to have the talk, you get him this book. But we weren't. It was a misfire by my poor mom. She didn't know. I brought it up at dinner the other night. Everyone got together except for my dad. Holy shit, I didn't talk about my dad! Cops at my house for 3 hours.
Oh
no.
Not my house, but my parents' house.
Who called the cops?
We gotta go. I have to go, but here's the story, and maybe I'll have some more details next week. Dad wandered out of the house, down the street, into a neighbor's house, into her bathroom, while she was naked in the shower. She freaked, called the cops. Cops came over. Now they've locked my dad inside the house. They've reversed the locks.
I'm sorry. You need a key from the inside.
But he's happy. I guess when the cops were over the house, he was like, he kept saying, I wasn't there, but I heard about it secondhand. He kept saying, isn't this nice? We're all here having a talk. Fucking dad.
Oh, no.
I'm sad.
No, don't be sad. Don't be sad. It's okay.
All right.
Fucking bitch calls the cops. A next door neighbor. Just go and talk to them.
Whoa, back it up.
No.
If an old man walks into your house and Jillian's in the shower, what do you...
If I know my neighbor, well, here's the reason why she probably called the cops instead of like taking him over to my mom. Before my dad, you know, fell into this dementia hole, he was hard to get along with.
Yes.
And three neighbors in this neighborhood that they still live in. Three of those neighbors, male neighbors, he has spit in their face.
Oh, my God.
Literally.
Yeah.
Like, that was his move. Like, he'd spit in their face hoping that they'd hit him first, and then he'd be able to self-defense bullshit. So he'd start by spitting them, and he spit in her husband's
face.
Isn't like,
spitting on someone's face
I know.
Assault?
He doesn't think things through. But about 10 years ago, like, that her husband cut down a tree that may or may not have been on our property, and my dad
Wait,
did the
they're
whole...
they're that close? They're right next door?
They're right next door.
Oh, that's even more uncomfortable. Oh, man.
So, yeah, I'll bring and show me. So I brought it up at dinner. And my mom was like, oh, I don't, that was a fine book. And my sisters both were like, oh my God, that book? And they started like remembering some details as well. So look up Show Me. Here's the best part about Show Me.
It's hard to go back to Show Me after you just talked about your dad walking in on some woman in the shower.
Hey, she's naked. What are you going to do? He gets us through. Apparently she's not attractive and she's very large.
Ooh, that's even worse.
Yeah. Oh, what if that's the last naked woman he ever sees? That's the real tragedy.
You got to break out Show Me.
I got to break out Show Me.
That's right.
So we were looking at Show Me, right? And I didn't know it was a German book, but I guess it was reprinted in English. Obviously, the version that I got, it was not Show Me.
I want to see if there's a Russian version.
Show Me. But I saw the most recent one, like I said, the second edition in 1997, I think was the most recent time. And it said, now, including AIDS.
Oh, great. Just a skeleton lying in a hospital bed.
I can't believe you haven't looked up Show Me yet, Ty.
We're going to bring it in. I don't want to pop my Show Me cherry.
Here we go. Thanks for, sorry. What?
Was this hopefully you could hear everyone this week.
Our self-esteem is so fucked. We're all ready just to go right to sorry. Sorry.
We should have never show with sorry.
Sorry.